make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
A fireside chat with a former Disney Imagineer. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 20 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of May 10th, 2015. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans, whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Before we get into the topic for today, please stick around till the end of the show. I've got some information on how we can stay in touch and some important details on how you can win a great prize just for listening. There are a lot of different jobs or roles at Walt Disney World. They're all important, and they all need to come together to make your visit memorable and special. That said, in the world of Disney careers, there are a few roles that seem to be of extra special interest to Disney fans. And one of those roles that's fascinating to many of us fans is the role of an Imagineer, the dedicated men and women who build Disney's theme parks, resorts, and cruise ships. The ranks of engineers contain many different specialties, from architects to engineers, from lighting designers to show writers. These are the people who dream wild dreams and make them come true. If you've ever wondered what it's like to be an Imagineer or how to get a job as an Imagineer, you will really enjoy today's show. To help me explore today's topic, I'd like to welcome someone who actually worked as an Imagineer at Walt Disney World, Brian Collins. Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, I am thrilled to be here, Herb.
Glad that you're here as well, and I've been looking forward to our conversation for quite a long time. I know we have a lot of really interesting topics to get into, but before we get into them, I want to start off with a warm-up question. It's easy.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Fire away.
All right. Festival of the Lion King or Finding Nemo the Musical?
Well, great shows, both of them. You know, I have got to say I am a big Festival of the Lion King fan. I just love that show. It's the pageantry, the music. It does it all for me. That would get my vote for sure.
I am a big fan of Festival of the Lion King as well, and I have heard, although I'm not sure it's official, that it's one of the most popular shows on property.
Yeah.
I have to say that Finding Nemo the Musical sort of tugs at my heartstrings, though. especially as a dad, so it starts off with the song, the whole show doesn't start off, but in sequence there's Where's My Dad, and then Not My Dad, and then That's My Dad. And I always feel like I need to sort of re-examine my place as a dad in the world after I walk out of that show, but in a good way. So I think they're both awesome shows.
I'm right there with you. I've got three Epcots of my own, which is what we used to call them when I was at WDI.
it just makes you take a step back, but in a good way.
Yeah.
All right. Great. So I'm really excited about our conversation today with your being a former Disney Imagineer. I know a lot of folks are going to be very interested in hearing about your experiences there. But I'd like to take a step back before we even get to your time at Walt Disney World. Can you tell us a little bit about your background and what it did to prepare you for your time at Disney?
You know, fast forward to when I graduated college, my degree was in advertising. I always thought I was going to be an advertising copywriter. And my first job out of school, I was actually hired to be a copywriter, but actually as a script writer for a video production company down in Miami, which is where I'm from, South Florida. And my job was to write the in-flight entertainment programming for Eastern Airlines, if you remember them. They used to actually be a real big Disney sponsor and had, If You Had Wings, I think, was their attraction in Magic Kingdom for the longest time.
Yeah.
And so worked for them for about a year, and then Eastern went belly up, and always wanted to work for Disney. So moved up to Orlando. My brother was living here. I camped out on his couch. Went to Disney. At the time, they had a little trailer. It was before the casting building was built. There was a little trailer behind the Magic Kingdom, so I went in, applied for a job. I thought for sure they'd have that big corner office overlooking the Magic Kingdom waiting for me, because I had a full year of experience as a hotshot producer in Miami. And to make a long story short, I wound up checking guests in to the front desk of the Contemporary Resort. But that's how I got my foot in the door. But my timing was perfect, was right, because it was 1989. It was right when the studios were getting ready to open up. Michael Eisner was CEO at the time. There was a lot of excitement and growth, new attractions being planned, that sort of thing. So I didn't have to work at the Contemporary for very long, fortunately. I actually was able to get away from there because I was at the Disney MGM Studios one day. They were doing a soft opening of the Great Movie Ride, and I was standing in line and just chatting with the guy in front of me. And as it turned out, he was a production assistant at the studios. And I was telling him about my background. So he and I got to be very friendly. He called me over on a couple projects to work as a production assistant myself. And within a few months, I was found myself working as a production assistant at the Disney MGM Studios. And from there, I kind of made some other contacts in the marketing department and cast communications and did all kinds of really cool, interesting projects. Worked, you know, a lot of the grand openings, including the grand opening of the studios. And eventually parlayed that into my job as an Imagineer. So it was really just kind of being in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, very interesting. So you mentioned you were a production assistant. What does that job entail?
Right. So a lot of times back then, the studio was very active with TV and video production. They were shooting, the Mickey Mouse Club revival was going on at the time. They were doing some game shows. There was a game show called Let's Make a Deal. There were all kinds of like TV commercials and corporate videos and stuff. And my job was to really kind of work on those productions as a hired hand, doing basically whatever the producers needed me to do, whether it was helping, you know, the grips or the best boys, you know, and those guys a little bit. If it was taking care of clients and making sure that their needs were met, if it was, and driving people back and forth from the lots. I mean, you know, all those kinds of things that just kind of help support the production.
Got it. Okay. So you started out checking guests in at the Contemporary Resort. You eventually made
right.
your way to becoming a production assistant. And I
right.
know the story makes its way to your becoming an Imagineer. So how did you get
right.
your job as an Imagineer?
Right. So from being a production assistant, one of the other things I was doing kind of concurrent with that was working at Cast Communications, which is the internal communications. They're the part of Disney that puts out the internal company newspaper called Eyes and Ears. And they brought me on as a field reporter to write some stories for them. And they also hired me to actually produce a couple internal videos for them. So I was getting just great experience writing and producing internal stuff for Disney at the time. And at one point I was talking to a woman who I'd become friendly with in the HR department and told her that I really would love to try and get into Imagineering. You know, I mean, I was born and raised in Florida. The first time I went to Disney was in 1972, the year, you know, right after the parks opened. And what kid, you know, doesn't walk through down Main Street, USA, and, you know, just look around and go, man, wouldn't it be cool to be one of the guys that creates his stuff?
Right.
So, I mean, it certainly was a lifelong dream of mine to try and do that. And when I found myself working for Disney in that position, I went to her and I said, you know, I'd love to be an Imagineer. And she was like, yeah, you and like a million other people. But I was persistent, you know, I kept asking and finally, you know, probably she just wanted to get rid of me. So she gave me the name of one of the creative directors out there. And she said, why don't you go talk to this guy? His name was Mike. And, you know, see if maybe he's got something for you. So I went out, made an appointment, and he was great, you know, really cordial. And he said, you know, took a look at some of my samples, and he gave me a sample job to do. At the time, they were still doing tours of the animation studio, right, which was still very, very active and was still producing Disney Animation. At the time, I think they were working on Little Mermaid, if I'm not mistaken, and supporting that production. So he gave me the current spiel that they were using on the tour of the animation studio, and he said, see what you can do with this and bring it back to me, which is what I did, and I guess he liked it. And he gave me another null assignment, and kind of like that. And that kind of went back and forth for several months. And then he started bringing me over as kind of like a part-time Imagineer. I was still technically assigned to other departments within Disney, but he would bring me over what they call cross-utilization. He used me for 3 months at a time. And always telling me, you know, nothing's guaranteed. You know, I can't promise anything, but, you know, we'll bring it back for 3 months and see what happens. Well, that went on for probably almost a year. And eventually, Mike was able to get a position justified and hired me on as a full-time show writer. And that's how I got to be an Imagineer.
Wow.
And it was amazing.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, the first day they handed me that Imagineering name tag, I mean, almost brought tears to my eyes.
Oh.
It sounds really kind of cliche, but it was a very cool, surreal moment for me.
I could imagine that would be a thrill to know that you are finally in and fulfilling that lifelong dream. So I know that there are probably a lot of different ways to become an Imagineer. There's no one way to do that. For you, do you think it was important that you got your foot in the door checking in guests at the Contemporary Resort?
It definitely helped, because it helped me learn the Disney culture. It helped me learn the company. It certainly helped me learn guest service. Yeah, I think all those things helped. You know, I mean, certainly my background before I worked at the Contemporary, I think, was a big help. Just a lot of persistence, too. You know, I mean, there were not only was I talking to Mike, but I was also talking to WDI's HR department in Glendale, California. And I'll tell you kind of a funny little story about that, too. And I don't necessarily recommend this to everyone, but at one point, you know, I had been writing to them and talking to them and, you know, just bugging them, trying to get my foot in the door with WDI, and they kept closing that door for me. You know, it just was not happening. At one point, I figured, well, you know what, I've got nothing to lose. So I went out and I bought one of those Disney mouse ear, you know, the classic Disney mouse ear hats, and I ripped off one of the ears. I stuck it in an envelope. I wrote a ransom note, and it said something to the effect of, want to be a Disney Imagineer, am holding corporate symbol hostage, willing to negotiate, give me a call. And sure enough, within a few weeks after that, I got a call. Whether or not that got me the job, I can't say. you know, it probably scared them more than anything, and they probably figured, well, you know, we better either hire this guy or he's going to do something kind of crazy. So,
was that a call from HR or a call from security?
Right, exactly. at the time, I wasn't quite sure. I'll tell you a little follow up to that. A couple of years later, I was talking to one of my buddies. At that point, I was already working as a show writer in Imagineering. And I was telling one of my friends that story, and he looked at me and goes, that was you? I said, yeah, what do you mean? He said, you know, when I was in Glendale in HR, they had your ear hanging up on the wall for like the longest time out there. So I guess there was some notoriety. Whether or not that's actually a true story, I was never able to verify. But, you know, like I said, I don't know if I'd recommend that to everyone out there, but it was definitely, I think, a creative way to get their attention.
Yeah. Now the Disney HR department's probably going to be flooded with one ear in an envelope, but it worked for you, and that's good. So you made it in, you got your name tag, you're an official Walt Disney World Imagineer. What are some of the projects you worked on?
Most of my projects were at the studios, because that was the newest park, which had just opened. And most, as a show writer, you know, when you talk about a show writer, you're not talking about stage shows per se. You're talking about the Disney show as a whole. My job was to write and keep fresh the scripts for the tram tour when they were doing that. There was a walking tour of the studios, the animation tour, of course. But I actually worked in all the parks. I worked on some stuff for the Jungle Cruise. If you're standing in line, there's this crazy radio broadcast that's coming in over the speakers in the queue area. And a lot of those real bad, punny jokes are stuff that I wrote. A lot of signs and nomenclature for the parks. Boy, just all kinds of really cool stuff. Epcot, you know, worked on some signage out there. It really ran the gamut. It was a pretty amazing, fun job.
Yeah, it's interesting that everywhere you look at Walt Disney World, someone had to work on making that happen.
Yeah.
So every sign, every script, someone had to do it. And it's pretty cool that you had a hand in some of those things. I think it's terrific. So when you... go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say real quick, it's kind of fun because, you know, there's still stuff to this day, not a whole lot left because it's been a while, but there's still some stuff of mine out there. And, you know, it's kind of like a legacy. And I bring my kids out and I say, you know, I did that or I wrote that. And they don't believe me half the time because your kids never, you know, I mean, how cool can you be to your kids? But, you know, and then I'll show them the actual like script that I wrote or, you know, the artwork for the signage or whatever it may be. And it's like, wow, you really did do that. So it's kind of cool.
That is cool. And it's good to have the backup material so you can really prove it to your family. So
yeah, right.
That's
right.
Good.
Yeah.
So
when I get home, wife is like, take out the garbage, you know, so. Just like everyone else.
Just like all of us. That's right.
Yeah.
So while you were working as an Imagineer, did you get a chance to work with any notable folks or meet any celebrities?
Oh, man. You know, not only in Imagineering, but just in Disney in general. Yeah, I had the chance to meet so many cool people. I met a Miss America at the time, a reigning Miss America, several of the Musketeers, of course. I met Michael Ruggioni from Miracle on Ice hockey team. I met, of all people, Paul Rubens, Pee Wee Herman, who most people don't know. But he actually did the voice in Star Tours of the robotic navigator in Star Tours.
Mm.
And he came out one time just to kind of check out the parks and everything. I met some Disney legends, John Hinch, Mark Davis. Gosh, I mean, it goes on and on. Yeah, that was one of the coolest parts of my job, was having the chance to work with and meet some very, very interesting, cool people.
Yeah, I would think meeting the celebrities would be fun, but as a Disney fan, meeting some of the Disney legends would be equally or even better. I saw a picture on your website of a sketch that Mark Davis did for you. If you ever plan to put that up on eBay, please let me know.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a just an amazing guy, Mark. I feel very lucky to have had the chance to have met him and you know, John as well. You know, John Hinch designed, he was brought over. He was one of Walt's animators as well. And his specialty was colors and understanding how colors work. So he really designed a lot of the different color schemes that you see in the park and also advised on how to use color to present different illusions within the park. In having the chance to kind of walk through the Magic Kingdom or Epcot with him as he's talking about and reminiscing about that kind of stuff was just priceless.
Yeah, that would be amazing. Wow.
Yeah.
So do you have any favorite stories you'd like to share from your time when you were working at Disney?
Man, there are so many cool stories. I could probably, you know, talk for hours on that. You know, just silly little things that I remember. Like, I remember one time we were doing some pickup lines for Figment. You remember Figment and Dreamfinder, right?
Sure.
And Figment, the little purple dragon, had this really high-pitched, you know, gee whizzy kind of voice. And I remember we went into the studio to do these pickup lines. They were just like lines that you would hear Figment saying in the attraction because you were going through. And the actor comes in to do Figment. The voice actor who did Figment walks in, and this guy looked like a biker. I mean, this guy was like huge, big, burly guy with a big, thick mustache and beard. I mean, you know, to look at this guy, you would, you know, if you saw him in the dark alley, you'd turn and run as fast as he could. And all of a sudden, he starts breaking into this gee whizzy Figment kind of voice. It just kind of blew me away. I mean, I think we blew the first couple takes because I was laughing so hard, just because it was so. So it was just really cool. You know, walking the park, like I said, with someone like John or meeting Mark Davis, you know, those are special memories. There's so many cool stories I could tell. I remember when they were actually building Splash Mountain, they asked me one time to go out and get some video that they could send over to Euro, because they were building Euro Disney at the time, and they wanted to get a sense of how the Splash Mountain was being built and the structure and rock work and all that. So they sent me out there with a camera, and I got to walk through there as it was being, you know, while it was still being built, and climb all the way up to the top. And I remember coming out at one point at the very top where the ride vehicles, you know, come out the top of Splash Mountain before they make their big descent down below and take their big drop, and standing up there and just looking over the Magic Kingdom and just thinking, wow, is this just a very incredible and rare kind of view for someone to have?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Very neat. And do you feel like having been an Imagineer has helped you in your time since working at Disney?
You know, it's something I certainly have kept with me all my life. I kind of joke sometimes, you know, with people that being an Imagineer, being at Disney, it's kind of like being in the Mafia, because you never really leave. And, you know, I've always, since moving on from WDI, I've always had like a dotted line relationship back to them, and I've done other work for them. As a matter of fact, at one point I was doing some work for the merchandise department, and I think I wrote the caption for every single Disney postcard there was at one point. And, you know, wrote a bunch of stuff for T-shirts and stuff like that. But even beyond Disney, you know, what you take away from being an Imagineer, I think, is that for me, it opened my mind that anything is possible. If, you know, I think it was Walt himself that said, if you can dream it, you can do it. You know, I saw that happening over and over at WDI, you know, just working with amazing, talented people was, you know, just phenomenal. And since moving on, taking those skills that I learned, how to push myself, I think, further than I thought I could. Creatively was wonderful. Just something. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because, you know, for most of my career, I've never really kind of gone, this is really kind of fun for me. This is where, like, the first time in, gosh, probably 20 years that I've really kind of sat down and really kind of reminisce like this. It's just not something I've really done. I almost kind of feel like, you know, war veterans who come back and they never talk about the war until maybe like later on in life or something. And then they start reminiscing about it. You know, it's kind of like, I don't know. I just never really did that until now, but I just kind of feel like, you know, I'm just looking back at my work at Disney as an Imagineer and then my career since then. It's just really fun right now to look back and appreciate that and share that more than anything. It's, you know, people just seem really enamored by it. And I like sharing the stories. There's some cool ones out there.
Yeah. Well, I've enjoyed listening to them, and I think it is fun to think that you can look back and still see spots where you had an influence at the Walt Disney World Resort. I just think that's amazing.
Yeah.
So one question I wanted to ask along the way, and maybe we'll wrap up with this one.
Sure.
I know a lot of people are very interested in what it takes to get a job at Walt Disney World. And do you have any advice for people who are interested in building a career with Disney or who are specifically interested in Imagineering?
Yeah. Well, you know, one thing I do know is that Disney has got a terrific internship program. So, you know, I think there are a lot of different ways that people get their foot in the door. But, you know, if you're in college, go to college, kids, get your degree. But definitely reach out to Disney, to the casting department, the HR department, and ask them. And if you go on their website, all of those internships are always posted. So that would be one thing I would recommend. Look into those internships. WDI certainly has internships. You know, get in touch with them. Send them a letter. You know, let them know what you're interested in doing and see what happens. The other thing is, you know, kind of the way I did was just take any job and get your foot in the door there. You know, if you're young enough and ambitious enough and trusting your talent and your skills to, you know, it, WDI, I gotta tell you, I mean, it, honestly, it's a very, very tough nut to crack. It's hard to get into. It's a very special place. And, you know, I feel very fortunate that I was able to, you know, to do that. But there's so many cool jobs outside of Imagineering at Disney that people do. So, you know, just be persistent, you know, follow your dreams and your heart and have faith in your talent. And it's going to get you somewhere.
I think that sounds like great advice. And I have really appreciated getting to know you and hear some of your story. And I'm glad that you're willing to share it. So thank you for that.
No, I love it. You know, I've got lots more, Herb. So anytime, you know, I'd love to tell you more.
All right. We will do more. Great. Good. So what are some things that you're up to these days and how can people find out more about them?
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. It's like I say, you know, that I'm just now kind of getting to a point where I've started kind of like reminiscing a lot about this stuff. And I was thinking, you know, actually, you and I actually had a chance to speak a few times before this podcast. I was actually a fan before I was a guest. I actually was listening to some of your podcasts in my car, driving around, and sent you an email and said, hey, I, you know, kind of like your podcast and, you know, I'm a former Imagineer. And, you know, when you invited me to come on as a guest, it kind of got me thinking, you know, maybe is there something more to it than just, you know, chatting with you. So I actually did create a website called WD With Me. If you go to wdwithme.com, that's my website. And I'm kind of putting myself out there to be your personal tour, if you will. Tour guide for Disney. If you ever wanted to walk through the parks with an Imagineer and hear some cool stories and kind of have some cool details pointed out to you that maybe, you know, a lot of people wouldn't see, you know, come find me on my website and contact me. I'd love to do that for you. And, you know, who knows what the future is going to hold. I've also got a Facebook page and I've got a Twitter account. So follow me on Twitter at WD With Me Brian. You can do that. You know, all of that stuff's linked into my website. So give myself one more shameless plug. Go to www.wdwithme.com and I'd love to hear from any of you guys. Yeah.
That is terrific. I think it would be a blast to tour the parks with you. And actually, that's something I hope the two of us can do sometime. And I've got to say, your website has one of the most amazing photographs that includes Cinderella Castle from an angle probably no one has ever seen. And I'll leave it at that so that people go and check out the site for no other reason than to see an amazing picture from an amazing angle.
Yeah, actually, two of them were taken from the same vantage point, different angles, but overlooking the park. But yeah, well, thank you very much, man. This has been lots of fun.
All right. Thank you, Brian. I appreciate your joining me on the show today. Thanks again.
Hey, you bet. Anytime.
You see, it's just like I told you. Wishes can come true if you believe in them with all your heart.
Well, we finished up our fireside chat with a former Disney World Imagineer, but our conversation isn't over. Were you surprised or excited by any of the answers you heard? Are you interested in becoming a Disney Imagineer yourself? Do you have some suggestions for Disney Imagineering? I would love to hear what you think. Check out the show notes page at worldofwalt.com/20 or worldofwalt.com/former Imagineer. Both those links go to the same page that works great on smartphones, tablets, and desktops. Leave your comment in the comment section and check out what other folks think as well. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I would sincerely appreciate it if you would rate and review it on iTunes. You can get easy-to-follow instructions on how to do just that at worldofwalt.com/iTunes. If you thought today's podcast was a stinker, well then, please, don't rate it in iTunes. But actually, in either case, I would love to hear from you. It's easy to get in touch with me. You can let me know what you think about today's show, or just stop by and say hi. There are four easy ways to get in contact with me. Number one, send an email to me, info@worldofwalt.com. Number two, leave a voicemail message for me using your phone, 407-391-5023. Number three, leave an online voicemail message for me at worldofwalt.com/voicemail. Or number four, follow me on social media. On Facebook, I'm at facebook.com/worldofwalt. And on Pinterest, I'm at pinterest.com/worldofwalt. I'd also like to invite you to enter a very special contest that's open to the folks who listen to this podcast and visit the show notes page. Head over to the show notes page again at worldofwalt.com/20, and there you can enter to win a $100 Disney gift card. It's easy to enter by following the simple directions on that page. It's my way of saying thanks for listening. I would like to give you a heartfelt thank you for spending a little bit of your time with me today. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com website. On the site, you can read interesting Disney articles, enter sweepstakes where you can win great Disney prizes, and chat with other folks who enjoy Disney in the forum and in the comments section. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you. And that is very cool. Thank you so much for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.